One of the things that the pandemic has absolutely brought into sharp relief is something that we've been talking about for a while, but maybe we didn't realize how significant it was. Maybe this crisis will be the impetus we need to make some changes. The digital divide has to do with who has access to the internet and who doesn't. It's not just an issue of actually having the money to have a computer or a laptop or some kind of a smart device, perhaps, that you can do homework on. It also has to do with, can you reliably connect to the internet so that you can work from home and keep your job so that the kids can go to school and they can school from home? Steve O'Neill has the Steve O'Neill Apartments have an exciting project that they were able to unveil at the end of last week, I think. Oh, actually, it was the beginning of this week. I'm still losing track of time a little bit. Amy Swanson is the services coordinator at Steve O'Neill Apartments, and she joins us to give us more information. Hey, Amy, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
So there were a lot of collaborations involved in making the Steve O'Neill Apartments completely internet connected. It was CHUM, Downtown Computer, Dr. Molly Harney here at UMD, the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation, Community Action Duluth, and Spectrum. All of these partners got together. How long did it take to get all of the moving pieces aligned? And when did you realize, wow, we've got to get these folks connected?
Yes, it's an amazing story. I believe that it was right around in April when shelter in place was impacting us all, right? And I recognized that our individuals, our households within the building weren't going to be able to connect virtually because not everybody had Wi-Fi access. And my concern started out pretty minimal, but it grew quickly. So the more I talked about it, the more people got on board, and it truly took a community. And I'm so privileged to live in this community where there's so much support for those who need help.
So I suppose all of the kids in the households, obviously, had the option to go to school online, and yet if folks aren't connected, or even if they don't have the money for a computer, that's going to make it difficult. Did you start with, we have some computers available that people can access, that are open access to everybody, or What did you find was the situation with the residents in the Steve O'Neill Apartments?
Well, for the children, when they got sent home to school from home, they were offered by ISD 709 and neighboring schools like Fond du Lac, Proctor, wherever our children in the building are going to school, they were offered a Chromebook, but without access to the internet, that Chromebook was not of any use. So that's, for the children, that's where the concern began. For the adults, anything that they needed, all the resources that we have available to us, whether it's treatment or therapy or doctor's appointments, all became virtual. And all of those resources were cut off when everything became virtual. So
wow.
Having Wi-Fi wasn't a privilege for the, it was a necessity. It was a basic necessity that our individuals did not have access to. So the barriers that those living in poverty experience daily are multiple. And with the pandemic, the isolation that it caused just exacerbated every barrier.
Well, you can't go to the library. Many folks, of course, rely on the library for free access to the internet and, looking for work, just going online to look for work. And that would no longer be an option. So, again, all these moving parts, where do you start? And who did you start with when you started talking to people and realizing this isn't just something that it would be nice for our residents to have. This is something our residents must have. Where did you start?
Do you want the long story or the short story?
The 3 to 5 minute story would be great.
Okay. All right. Actually, it started with talking with my cousin, who's a Wi-Fi engineer in Scottsdale, Arizona. And he gave me direction. And so I took his direction, and I started talking with Spectrum. I told them the scope of the problem, and they started giving me solutions. They pointed me to individuals who could actually install access points into the building. So we reached out to area Wi-Fi engineers. Downtown Computers jumped on it, and they are the ones who ended up actually doing the project. After that, we got approached by Community Action Duluth with Jeff Longenecker, and he had the laptops available through a tech-up project that he was doing, so it all just meshed together beautifully. The timing was couldn't have been better orchestrated. And so now going forward, we anticipate school is going to look different. We don't know what it's going to look like, whatever the modified plan is going forward, but at least we know that our households within the Steve O'Neill Apartments have a laptop that they can do their schoolwork on. They have access to Wi-Fi. There will be no digital barriers right now that we can see that will make success even a more difficulty for them.
And that's such a self-fulfilling prophecy almost, when mm-hmm. poverty limits your access to the way, you know, to the way that everybody else can learn, or limits your access to information, limits your access to learning, or limits your access in the case of adults to, I can't, you know, if I'm lucky enough to have a job I can do online, I can't do my job online because I can't afford right. internet service, or my computer is old and it won't handle, and I can't afford a newer one, for example. We've been right. talking about this for so long. We've been talking about low-income people in our communities. We've been talking about rural connectedness. We've been talking about tribal connectedness on reservations, where many folks on reservations either have no internet or sketchy internet, or sometimes it connects, sometimes it doesn't. If you knew that you were being heard by someone who lives in a community who says, we have to do something in our community or in our neighborhood or for our little, you know, our cluster of homes, our housing project, our apartment complex, whatever it might be, what would mm-hmm. you recommend to people if they're in a position kind of like you, where they're saying, we can't really wait for anybody else to do this, we have to start to try to reach out and find a way to do this ourselves, how would you recommend they start? Get a cousin who's a Wi-Fi yeah. engineer. Or you're going to, and of course, your cousin's personal at home phone number, of course, we'll get that posted on our website later. So everybody can call your cousin at home and say, how can we start Wi-Fi?
No, kidding. There are, you know, creative ways for that. We had tried, you know, many brainstorming sessions. We had thought of bringing a bus onto the site that would be situated with Wi-Fi and having the kids all get on the bus to do their homework. There's different options available depending on the area that you live in. I guess I would start with your carrier. Who is your internet carrier in the area? Talking to somebody there to find out what are the options available. Because there are other options. Access points in the building seem to be the most secure given our weather, given our location, geography, everything. But there are other options that could have happened. I'm thankful that we got the access points in the building because they seem to be the most secure. And another thing that Downtown Computers is doing, thanks to Nick Mancini, he really felt strongly about managing the firewalls so that they are monitoring that nothing that would be more trauma impacting is entering the building. So they're offering that service to us because we certainly aren't engineers at that, so...
And that's the kind of thing in your situation that you do obviously want to be cognizant of. When you bring yeah. that Wi-Fi in, when you bring that connectedness in, you, depending on where you are, you may not just mm-hmm. want to fling wide the digital doors and let anything come in. Mm-hmm. You want parents in particular to be able to control. You want to be able to control, and you also want parents to be able to control what kind of information is available to them, but certainly to get the kids online so that with all the other things the parents may be concerned about, whether or not their kids are falling behind in school doesn't have to be one of them.
Exactly.
Amy,
yep,
what
and an, then online safety.
What an exciting story. It really is a wonderful story. And thank you so very much for taking a little bit of time to let us know about it, and also for giving us some insight into the process, because there are a lot of communities now that are really going to start standing up, I think, and saying, okay, we've been talking about this for a long time and how this would be a good idea. And it's not, as you said, it's not a good idea anymore. It's a necessity.
Yes. We need to break down the barriers of isolation, because isolation leads to more mental health problems, drug addiction problems, domestic violence problems. It's just, we need to do something about it. So thank you for showcasing this project on your program, and it is. It's truly exciting.
Amy, thanks again for joining us this morning. Amy Swanson, our guest on KUMD's Northland Morning. She is the services coordinator at the Steve O'Neill Apartments, and she joined us this morning as our guest talking about the Steve O'Neill Apartments. They are wired. All the residents have access to Wi-Fi throughout the building, and folks can get online, and all the kids at Steve O'Neill will be able to join in their online schooling in whatever form that may take this fall.